All right, folks, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. Jason Woodforth is plugging in with me today for our usual chat. Jason's up out of Brisbane area and always plenty to discuss for sure. And it never ends. Everything's up on my website. It never ends. Everything's up on my website, KrazFiles.com, folks. Enjoy. Lots going up, as always. Jason Woodforth is the happiest I've ever seen him, folks. He is ecstatic. He is over the moon with pure, unedited, and unfiltered joy because we had a big green win for the elections last weekend. Jason was straight down there in the morning at the green booth. Boom, boom, boom. No mucking around. So you're happy, mate. We have a green government now.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I mean,
you didn't vote. I'm just making fun.
Adam might be telling a small white lie. Only that I wasn't down there, but we do have a green parliament.
We have a green parliament now. I never thought I'd see that in my day. That's what I was saying the other night. It's just a joke, mate. But, you know, if you look at the Green Party, you know, probably since Bob Brown, I think, you know, like it's really gone down over the years. And all the federal elections that we've had, I've always noted every 3 years, the Greens just do so-so. Probably they might get a little bit here and a little bit there. They seem to have that, you know, they're always that sort of hanging on after the Labor and the Libs. They've just always been there, you know, but how the hell do the Australian Green Party become a superpower overnight?
Yeah, overnight, absolutely.
You know, how do so many Australians, especially after what happened to us and how bitterly angry people are and the lockdowns and what they did to us, how does that happen? And plus you get a massive nationwide turnout for Labor as well, especially in Victoria. I've been mocking Victoria a little bit lately. Sorry, folks, I know we have a lot of listeners there. I don't mean you. It just seems crazy looking at the stats of Victoria, especially Melbourne. It just looks like there is a sea of red voters for Daniel Andrews' Labor Party because a lot of these people were angry about ScoMo. They were directing their anger at ScoMo because of the harshest and longest lockdowns in the world in Melbourne. But you're directing it towards the wrong person. And what you did is you actually voted the very people in that are doing this to you, which is really insane. So retarded, beyond words, putting up an article on that. But really just crazy elections. I don't want to spend too much time on it, Jason, because it's a waste of time. But crazy elections, indeed. I just can't believe that many people would. As I said the other night, I did watch the Channel 9 and 7 breakdown, which was really nasty and narcissistic and ugly, and just ugly people on the panel. But they seemed to have the result before it started. It just seemed to all fall into place. But as I said the other night, if you look at the kind of government that we have, the Labor communists, the Greens, and the new Zealots, the fake independents, the Teals, who are all like worse than the Greens on steroids. These are all the climate agenda people. I sent you the information on that. They're funded by a climate agenda millionaire. This would be all tied up with the UN. This new government system that we have in place perfectly aligns with not only the United Nations, the WHO and all of this, and Bill Gates, but it perfectly aligns with the next phase of Agenda 2030 and lockstep.
Absolutely.
We're moving forward into now to 2025. The inoculations will continue to 2025. And then after that, we're basically goners, but into 2030. But prepare, folks, for the next phase of the plan. And this government's going to take you there.
And Adam, look, I'll only briefly touch on the election. Let me spend 5 minutes on it. But to the point of, you know, you saying to 2025, and remember it's Agenda 2130. And I start truly believing, whilst it started as Agenda 21 way back in the day, and then they upgraded it to Agenda 2130, maybe they were hiding the fact that what starts Agenda 21 is the whole process to get to Agenda 2030, and they sort of like just, they brought that in. So really what we've seen is Agenda 21 was actually all about getting ready for Agenda 2030. Okay, so you've got the Great Reset. Klaus Schwab, who says by 2030 you'll own nothing and be happier. So there's that 30 mark. Now come back to your 25. 25 is also another marker. And remember, number of movies in the last 20, 30 years that were about 2025. Okay, there's documents from the World Health Organization or someone else. I can't remember. It's so much stuff that I've forgotten about, but alludes 2025. Also, Songbird, the movie set in 2024, the year before 2025, is about COVID-23. So their check markers of 21, 25, and 30, that's a check marker. So they start whatever they need to start before that. It's the year before. So now what we're seeing is, I digress. Let me go back to the election. These teal people, they've come out of nowhere. Absolutely nowhere.
Nowhere.
And why just specific seats? Why not the whole country?
And did you see there were six of them?
Yep.
Six.
And just it just makes no sense. Now, also, Melania Trump wore teal, okay? Jenny Morrison wore teal. What's going on here? The teal independence. It's not exactly the same teal color with Jenny and Melania, but it's very, very close. At the end of the day, it was a teal, right?
Do you think, Jason, just quickly, that the Clive Palmers and all of that were a setup to get people? Because what I heard is by putting the Liberal and the Labors last, we've actually given more power to the teals.
I don't think that happened.
It just seems weird that they've bowed out so badly and these people are so strong.
Okay, let me cover that now. I've got notes here, so I'll come back, right? Okay, people, this is how the two-party preferential system works. So let's use 10 candidates. Actually, it wouldn't matter whether you use 100 or 10,000. If you give your first preference to an independent, it doesn't matter who you give your second preference to. What happens is, and as I said on this show last week, and by the way, what did I predict? I predicted a Labor whitewash, didn't I? And I got that smackingly right. Okay, so what happens is, and I said I wouldn't bother voting. Now, I'll tell you what I did with my vote. I walked in, I grabbed my two voting slips, I had my grandson with me. The person who gave me the slips was chatting to me while one of the grandsons was walking around. As she did that, I just folded my sheets up, and then as I walked out, I just walked straight to the ballot boxes and put them in blank. My vote didn't count. Hello, wake up, people. All right. And in let me go. Hang on, I digress here. But yeah, I said to my word last week, I'm not basically voting, just getting my name marked off, and that's what I did. Because in this area, like so many areas, the way the voting system works is the two parties with the two biggest piles of first preferences, right? What happens is you then get all the other small ones. So let's work some even numbers. Say you've got 10,000, no, let's use 1,000 voters. You've got 1,000 voters and 400 vote for Labor and 400 vote for Libs. You've now got 200 votes left. And let's say you've got four independents and include a Green or whatever in that. And say they've got say the Greens have got 100 votes of those 200, and the other three independents have got 33 votes each, one being 34. Okay, what happens is you may have selected Greens first. Actually, let's use independents, because if you selected Greens first, you probably selected Labor second because you're a dumb fuck. Let's use an independent where you hate the other party so much that you put 9th Labor and 10th Liberal because you didn't care. You just wanted them second and last. Okay, so you grab the independent slip where you went number one independent. You then put number two independent, number three independent, number four independent, number five independent, number six independent, number seven independent, number eight Greens, and number nine, you didn't give a fuck. I'll just go Labor and Liberal. Okay, so the way this works is because the two piles are the biggest, they're the ones that are going to control the system, and it is a system, is that you then go to the person on that ballot paper that wrote whatever party, Liberal or Labor, in front. And so number nine, you wrote Labour as your ninth preference, but it goes on the Labour pile. That's the way the two-party preferred system works, and it was set up and designed so that there would never, ever be anything but the one bird with a different colour, red or blue, in power. And it's worked magically again. You've got Labour with 32% of the vote. One-third of us voted for the government to control us. And again, I use the apt word control. They're going to control us. Don't you worry about that. And then 35% voted for Liberal. We are with a government where basically we don't want them. That is what we've got this down to. We're screwed. You've got the Greens now. Now, keep in mind, what I also can't work out is that 71 seats, actually even less, Albo called it, and they got him ready, be sworn in Monday morning, and on a flight to Japan hours later. Really?
All set up.
It's like, exactly, Adam. Was this just all set up?
The actual way that it turned out was too diabolical. You know, they tried to make out like it was chaos because of the Teals. They didn't know what was going on, but the whole thing turned out so... It just couldn't be anything else but perfectly planned. There's no way that that is a natural process. It was absolutely scripted. Absolutely scripted.
And Adam, look, just so I've always said, and I don't stand by this word anymore, but in the past I still do because I've been there in Parliament and I've been there at scrutineering where you count the votes, you watch the votes. There's lots of eyes. There's lots of eyes from both parties and independents on those ballots as they get counted, is that it's really hard to fudge the system here in Australia, unlike America where they've got the computer systems. Now, this one, though, I'm definitely hearing enough, and you've sent me enough stuff to start questioning whether or not the AEC, who control it all, have sent out to their members who have been at the voting booths to do things in a dishonest way. And now also, I don't know whether you sent it to me, but the and I never looked at it because I just folded the damn ballot paper up for the Senate. But the Senate on the top line, above the line, had three squares that were blank. Okay, yeah. So it seems that this election has certainly gone the way that the New World Order needed to go. But don't get me wrong, if ScoMo had got back in, we know how pedophilic he is and how part of the system he is. It wouldn't have mattered. But for some reason, they wanted Labor in for the finale. We won't get Labor out for years. It's as simple as that.
The next 3 years are going to be hell.
Yeah,
and I do, and I have heard people say, and I don't know, but I think that what's going to happen in this country in the next 3 years is going to be so bad, and so in your face, and things are going to become so over the top and ridiculous that all these stupid, dumbed down sheep are going to have no choice but to drop their coffees and do something about it. They're going to have to act. They have to.
Yeah, I do wonder.
Because they are lost. I mean, there's a school right near me where I had to go and vote, and there's all these, like, brain-dead sheeple that live there in houses the size of football fields, and they've got Climate Action Now and Zali Steggall posters out front of their houses. And they've got 3-4 cars parked out the front, 50 lights on in the house, you know, holidays to Bali every year, you know, heaps of kids with different devices on in every room. You know, I've got maybe a candle on or one light on here in the night and one car.
Yeah.
We use hardly anything. And these people want to save the climate. So they all voted for this transvestite looking Zali Steggall. And, you know, but these people have a good life under this system in a really crazy and disturbed way. You know, it's almost like as the system becomes more controlling and draconian and it, you know, and we fight back more, these people have a better time because they're obeying and they have their heads in the sand and they're refusing to see the system for what it really is. So they're pretending in, you know, that they have this kind of good life, which in some crazy ways that are hard to explain, they do, but it won't last. It won't last. And as I said, I think things are going to get so bad now, but, you know, I don't understand what happened in Melbourne. I mean, I sent you the stuff there. You look at the maps of how Melbourne voted.
Huge.
Every single suburb, all of Melbourne is red. I mean, it was not just a bid. It was a massive, massive turnout. I would have thought that people would have been so angry at Daniel Andrews and Labor that they would have really voted in massive numbers against Labor, but it was the opposite. Now, how can this be unless we're dealing with some kind of Stockholm syndrome on steroids? Did he beat them down so badly that they have actually gone onto his side? You know, like in the Stockholm syndrome situation. You know, if you look into that, it makes sense in this situation. It's like a new form of Stockholm syndrome, which I call Victoria syndrome. I've changed the name. I think we need to change the name now because this is insane. And if you look as well, Macron, Trudeau, the transvestite in New Zealand, what's her name?
Jacinta.
Jacinta. All of them were straight on the phone, Jason, to congratulate this idiot.
And let's not forget that Klaus Schwab said to at a conference that Justin Trudeau was a young World Economic Forum leader.
Mm.
He him and Putin. If you think there's a war happening in Ukraine, you've got rocks in your head. There's nothing happening in Ukraine. Nothing. Zip, zero, zilch. When all those we went over the last show, all those people going over there to support Ukraine. Like, why would you go there? And Jacinta, she came out of nowhere. I mean, we are heading very fast to where the end game is.
Mm.
But in saying that, I still predict it's 2029 for the finale. But we've got some big stuff coming up to 2025. And Adam, let me just finish off the election with the long arm sleeves of Jenny Morrison.
How weird was that?
Beyond weird. I even said to Ange, because there was...
I actually noticed that, and then I kind of was so tired, and then you brought it up, and I was like, yeah, that was really weird.
People, they were, like, past her hands by not a foot, not 2 feet, I don't think 2 feet, but certainly a foot or a foot and a half past her hands. And I said to my wife, I said, look at that. I said to my wife about a news reporter who had some long arm sleeves on, probably just past her hands or level with her hands. And Ange goes, oh, that's the new fashion. And I said, in the space of a second, Jenny walks out with that on. And I said, is that the fashion? She goes, wow. That's just weird. They are saying it's they're comparing it to the Handmaid's Tale. So that is something, like, keep in mind that The Wizard of Oz was written about today and all the things going on. 1984 by George Orwell was all about today. Maybe there's something to look into The Handmaid's Tale that links up the whole teal thing and whatnot. I don't know. Something to look at. But also, let me just say that I've said this before. David Crisafulli here in Queensland, who is the opposition leader for the state of Queensland, he has said on two occasions, and I've got to find the videos again, talked about the secret cabal running the government, and there was another thing he said, and I just jaw-dropping just went, you just told the truth in plain sight. What do you know, pal? So anyway, I might just leave that all. I've never seen an election like it, Adam.
And no.
There's definitely the agenda fell into place from whatever they needed, and they've done it well.
Perfectly.
So we wait to see what comes of that. So let me digress, because time is short for this one, on the monkeypox. Now, we've got a whole heap of monkeypox stuff coming out all at the one time. But let's go back to a article. Let me pull it up. Where are we? No, NTI. Okay, an article from... the NTI. Now, I'm going to do some more research on this NTI, people, but it's strengthening global systems to prevent and respond to high-consequence biological threats. All right. Now, this was from a tabletop exercise conducted in partnership with the Munich Security Conference from March 2021. Now, also within this paper that was released in November 21, it refers back to something that was done in December 2020. So I don't know whether this December 2020 was what happened and they discussed in March 2021. But anyway, it's 36 pages long. But you've only got to go to page 6, standby, page 6, paragraph 2. Where am I? Oh, hang on. Where have I gone? Forward. Okay, paragraph two. The exercise scenario portrayed a deadly global pandemic involving an unusual strain of, ready for it, monkeypox virus. All right, so they have already said the next thing coming is a monkeypox virus. And what did we have happen? All of a sudden have happened on months later, a monkeypox virus. How do they know that? Event 201. If you don't know about Event 201, you're listening to Adam, where have you been? Event 201, a simulation 56 days before the simulation of coronavirus, 56 days before the pandemic of coronavirus. Now, also, monkeypox equals 105. And when was the first case? Was May 10th. What's 10-5? 105. Okay, you can't make this shit up. Now, also, hang on, I've got another thing from, where's that article? Stand by, I've got so many things open. Stand by, there's another 105 thing. They announced, they got this right. Hang on, back up here. All right, on the simulation schedule, the attack takes place on May 15th, 2022. Since NTI's simulation took place over 1 year earlier in March 2021, it was no coincidence the World Health Organization was notified of 4 confirmed cases of monkeypox in the UK on, wait for it, May 15th. May 15th. And what does monkeypox virus equal? 105. 10th of May. 10-105. You can't make this shit up. Now, also, they're talking about no regrets. They're talking about doing lockdowns with no regrets. Like, even if you think there could be an issue with no cases, this is in their document from the NTI, lock them down. Lock them down. Now, interesting, Pala Piece of Shit, which is their her real name is, but she really needs to change by Deepol to Pala Piece of Shit, is Anastasia Palaszczuk, who I served with for 3 years, 2012 to 2015. Between her, Jackie Trad, and Joanne Miller, absolute scum they are. They're the scum of the earth, right? Anyway, she said for our last lockdown, that we locked down the schools. We had a Thursday pouring rain, and it was absolute shocker. And apparently we were going to get the same on the Friday, which never eventuated, but she locked all the schools down. The next day when nothing came of it, we didn't have like a scrap of rain. When nothing came up, the next day she goes, I have no regrets and I'll do it again. Mm. Okay? She's already started the no regrets narrative. Get ready for the no regrets narrative. It's already started. But this monkeypox virus goes till 2023, December 1st. And just a few other points on that. The World Health Organization came out today and said, we've got monkeypox virus covered, even though there's a lot of cases around the world, apparently 83 countries now. How it all happens in the one go, which is normally an African virus. Actually, I always thought it was smallpox, not monkeypox. I have to do some research. But apparently Africans get monkeypox. But the smallpox virus, smallpox vaccine, the WHO is saying we're not worried because we have a vaccine that works. Well, hang on a second. A piece that I missed out in those 36 pages, which Activist Post picked up, is – according to the NTI scenario, by June 5th, 2022, is discovered that the genome, this bloody genome thing, genome sequencing of monkeypox patients, the samples reveal that the strain in Brina contains mutations that make resistant to existing vaccines, that makes it resistant to existing vaccines. So this revelation prompts, get ready for it, aggressive measures, such as shutting down mass gatherings, imposing social distancing measures, and implementing mask mandates. So people, get ready. We may be in for a monkeypox virus lockdown, though they just said shutting down mass gatherings. They did not say locking down. So cross fingers for small businesses that aren't trying to kill themselves and suicide themselves, that we at least, if that's what happens. But surely, Adam, at some stage, people are going to say, why is this all happening now? I've been alive for 80 years, 60 years, 40 years, 20 years. We've never done this. I mean, swine flu in 2008, 2009, whenever it was. I mean, you knew every second person that had the flu. The 2017 flu season was epic. My wife was sick for weeks on end. I never got sick. Oh, and by the way, My wife's just been sick for about 4 weeks with a bit of a cough and a bit of this and a bit of that. Nothing major. Still went to work. I didn't get sick. I slept with her. My grandkids kissed and cuddled her all the time. She went to work and no one else got sick. Apparently, my wife is one of the lucky ones that doesn't pass anything on. And then let me go further to a friend of mine, my friend who's very close friend's husband died at 36. I think I said this on another show for no reason, just dropped dead. But she got really, real sick. She's triple jabbed, right? Got real sick. And no one else in her family got sick. Wow. All these people I know that don't pass it on, that apparently this thing's meant to be very transmissible. Don't listen to their bullshit. If you're sick, you're sick. But by the way, if you've had a shitload of jabs, you're probably going to be a lot more sick than a lot of other people. You won't make them sick because your body's so toxic, it is trying to sort you out.
Yeah, that's right. And that's right. Yeah, crazy, eh?
Oh, sorry. And so what they're going to do with monkeypox, which I thought until the vaccine was working, but that's changed because I wrote – they've got a vaccine, so this is about to scare us to take the jab because we've got a vaccine that works. But hang on a second. If they're saying by June 5th we've realized the vaccine doesn't work, they've got to go into lockdown. So the thing I'm going to look for is either this is going to be a case of scaring us to take a jab that we know that apparently works but it doesn't, but getting us more toxins in our body, or do we get to a point where, no, we're going to do some shutdowns and some mask mandates? So they're the two paths. I don't know which way they're going to go, but I believe they're going to go one of two ways. So we wait to see that in literally a matter of 2 weeks.
That's right. The scary thing is that they've already achieved the lockdowns and mask mandates. And if you look at what they've done in barely the last 2 years, you could look at it as just one big test to see what the compliance would be, to see if people actually would do it all around the world. And we did it here in this country, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
So they've already done that test on the population, especially if we were just to look at Australia, and it worked. They locked us down, destroyed our businesses, made us wear masks, not our listeners and us, but, you know, pretty much most of the population. It worked. They did it. So it's been done. Right. So you could look at that and what they've done as just a test case for what's really coming. Well, you know, they could do the real bad lockdowns now.
Well, Adam, just on that, because that's a great point, because you mentioned the word test. Now, we've said on this program for a long time, and let me just digress for a second because I've got this note written down. Is that, again, people, if you've only just caught up with my podcast with Adam, is I said 12 months ago, and I've been doing podcasts with Adam for about 8 years now, but this last 2 years, almost, well, probably on average every 2 weeks, is I said 12 months ago, on every podcast I say, we're still here and this is not going away. And 12 months ago I said, and mark my words, we'll be talking about this in 12 months. And here we are talking about it again in 12 months. And people, we're going to be talking about this again in another 12 months, mark my words. I'm even going to go, I'll even go bolder and say, if we're alive, we'll be talking about this in 2029. There will be something every week until 2029 discussed that is absolute, utter bullshit, just absolute nonsense that makes no sense. So, you know, people, if one thing you do, get growing food, get being self-reliant. Get out of the system that we're so used to. Like, I was at the shops the other day with the wife getting supplies, and I'm just looking at some of the things we're picking up, and I'm just thinking, no, we've got to get the veggie garden way better than this. We need to visit this shop so little. And we are guilty of relying on it way too much ourselves. But it's hard. I mean, mind you, I've got to start thinking about chooks. I really probably need, because I've got the space to get some chooks back.
Absolutely.
And get the chooks happening again.
Absolutely.
I had them once many years ago.
Eggs can save your life, mate.
Yep.
It's a perfect food. And you get some happy chooks, you'll be great. I mean, you can actually, if they're free range and happy at your place, they'll lay longer too. They won't be like the commercial. But spend more money to get better chooks. Don't buy crappy ones because they get a lot of diseases and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you can't beat eggs and even a beehive, you know? get a flow hive, and so you've got that sweet, the honey and things like that. Yeah, start implementing it.
Because unless you're on a farm where you've got cows to you've got to rely on the eggs
bloody hard,
the veggies.
We all rely so much on supermarkets, and we don't realize how much, you know.
Yeah, and actually, next time, people, listeners, next time you go to the supermarket, just stand back and just watch the herd. Just watch how reliant we are on the system they've created. There was no such thing as a supermarket, I think, until 1927. I watched a podcast on it many years ago, and like we just didn't have supermarkets. And then not only that, cereals. We never used to have cereals, and that's where diabetes type 2 started kicking in, was when we brought sugary cereals in, and that was also, I believe, in the mid to late 1920s. Excuse me. But anyway, I digress. Let me go back to the test. So what they've done, as we've said on the show, Adam, you and I, we've mentioned that, you know, they're doing a test in Victoria. They're doing that sort of thing. They're doing a test in Canada. They're doing a test in India. They're doing a test in Queensland, in Perth. There's all these different styles of tests. They're all different. So you sit back and, again, if you sit back and go, they're all different. Why are you doing that? They're doing this and that. That makes no sense. Because to keep the cult in the cult, they make things make no sense. Because then, because these cult members are plugged in the matrix, it's just safer to just go along with whatever they say. Have some balls, people. I've never worn a mask. I'm not jabbed. I've gone wherever I wanted to. I haven't social distance. I hug, I kiss, I handshake. Fuck them. So they're doing a test. Now, here's the test for Sri Lanka. I just found out yesterday Sri Lanka has basically run out of petrol. They are tossing their cars into rivers. They are they're just gone wild in the streets. There's just riot after riot. So Sri Lanka is a small island. I've just found out. I'm not really that versed on every country and what it looks like and whatnot. Roughly know where it is, but not the size, etc. But it's a small island with 20 million people that have run out of petrol. They basically only grow tea and nothing else. So they're running out of food. And they've got no way of bringing in, because the other thing that the Sri Lankan governments have done over the last 20 years is they've run the country broke. Sri Lanka's got no money. Now, there's one image of the Sri Lankan politicians, because apparently it's such a small knit community over there, even though it's 20 million people, you kind of know where everyone lives, especially the politicians. One poly had like about 20 Lamborghinis. So they show all the Lamborghinis on the podcast, and then the next minute, all the Lamborghinis are on fire. So over in Sri Lanka, there is a serious test going on here. I'll guarantee you the cabal families, and this podcast talked about the cabal families that rule them like with iron fists, but also it was to destroy the Sri Lankan economy. I'll guarantee you they're not there. They've been moved on to wherever they need to be moved on to, and they've done their job. Now, I'm going to digress just for a second, because I just thought of something when saying that one, because it was on the same podcast. There was a great interview of a guy, I'm going to say it was from the 1970s or maybe 1980s. He was ex-CIA or he was an ex-journalist. And he was telling how the CIA basically would come to them with stories, and you'd then go to the news anchor and give them four truth stories and one fake story. And he brought up one thing that where apparently these women in this third world country that got raped were actually gained a force of women to go and kill these men. Now, that never happened. It was just to make you think that that was going on. Again, I go back to Ukraine war. Is it really happening? Are you there? Why would Bono go over there? Why would Boris just jump on a train and go over there? Why was Angelina Jolie over there? I mean, it makes no sense if this country's getting bombed to the fuck. Why would you take the chance? People, I'm not saying 4 out of 5 stories are true. I'm just going to say 1 out of 5 stories is true. It's got worse as the years have gone on, because none of this COVID stuff makes sense. Not a single story of COVID is true. Why? Because COVID does not exist. It's never proven to be existed. It's a crock of shit. So every single COVID story you've seen is false, is a lie. Every death is a lie.
That's right.
The whole
thing is. And, absolutely, 100%. So, you know, there's it's important for people to, because I'm noticing in the truther community and some of the groups now, they're going on about the monkeypox virus. They're playing into that lies. Web of lies, like it's real. It isn't. It's all lies. It's not real. There's no evidence anywhere on planet Earth, anywhere, not one speck of evidence to support any pathogenic virus. Nowhere on planet Earth. And COVID, that's just obvious, okay? So there's no monkeypox viruses in monkeys. There's nothing that can be transmitted from an animal to you or from you to your wife or another person. Contagion is a Hollywood myth. It's just it's what they put in the movies to scare people and control people through that being, you know, through worrying about you're going to get something off someone. You're not going to catch anything. There are viruses. They don't exist. Yeah. So monkeypox virus is just another ridiculous scam. But as you said, it's just incredible they've brought it in so quick. Kind of gave me the feeling, are they rushing forward? Because they've just brought it in at the wrong time. And even average Joe Blows, who watch the mainstream media every night, are going, this is weird. This is ridiculous, you know. I don't even think they're buying it. But, you know, do they care if you buy it or not? They already did the lockdowns. They already did the masks. We already complied. Simple Simon says, and we did it, you know. So it doesn't matter. Like the elections, Jason, this is rogue. It's they don't care anymore. They're doing what they want.
Yeah.
It's just there's no laws anymore. This is fucking rogue now. That's the crazy part.
And Adam, really as many people have learned, and I've said this, for years, that I've never worried when someone's come into when I had my shop or just come into a contact with me that's got a virus. I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine, you know, because you can't give that to me because viruses are dead. It's a toxic product just getting rid of shit, right? Now, do be worried, and I've said this on the show before. Do be worried about bacterias. Bacteria's like the wife and I at the same time got a tummy bug, went over to a friend's place, and they said, oh, the kids have got a tummy bug, but you'll be fine. We go over there, 24 hours later, boom.
Yeah, I know. Down. It's horrible.
Oh, man, just the worst. So, yeah, absolutely do be concerned about bacteria. There are definitely things to be concerned about.
Oh, boy, food poisoning, bacteria, yeah, touching your mouth after dirty things and stuff like that, you know. I'm getting those vomiting things.
Absolutely. But this whole virus thing, they would have been better off just spraying us with bacteria for us all to go down. Then we'd really believe it, right? Now, let me just say this. I couldn't find it because I was trying to send it through to you the other day, and I sent you the alien picture. Like, I didn't see monkeypox coming, right? Had someone picked up on the NTI document, we would have gone, hang on, monkeypox, right? But there's a great there's a great meme with aliens, and I couldn't find the one to send you, so I sent the one I did. But it goes, damn, and we thought we were next up.
Yeah, we were next in line.
So, aliens, you've been put off, and that'll just be a holographic show, people, so don't be too concerned. It'll look scary, but just think you're in a movie. And that's how I try to watch scary movies. Is I just pretend that I'm there with the all the producers and the film crew and whatnot, and just like this is just. Just an action, and yeah, that looked great. That looked scary. That you're spot on. But I was watching something. I think it was last night. I went, no, I can't keep watching this because I was trying to watch it for a bit of truth in plain sight. I can't remember what I was watching, but
it's insane. It's nuts. They've thrown in a twist of monkeypox into the soup. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's just incredible that anybody in their right mind would buy this. It's just crazy. But as we just saw with the federal Australian elections, they're doing what they want. They're doing what they want. And if this WHO thing gets signed, this is big trouble. And it's interesting to look on the maps at countries not under the UN. Like, so I was thinking maybe you need to go somewhere that's not under the UN, and it's basically Palestine and the Vatican. And why isn't the Vatican under the UN? But there are other places under the UN, apparently, even in Australia, Norfolk Island.
Yeah, well, actually, Norfolk Island is very interesting. I'll come back there in a second. But remember, all roads lead to Rome. The Vatican's under the WHO because the Vatican are on top of the WHO.
On top of the WHO, like Johnny Cerucci's saying.
The thing about Norfolk Island, apparently Australis is actually Norfolk Island. Is it Australis? There's a interesting podcast on
Norfolk Island is Australia.
Yeah,
this is the company.
And that's right. And we here in what we think is Australia is actually, I think, Australius. So, anyway, that's another topic.
Yeah, the Norfolk Island is like the office.
Yeah.
That the Queens of England, all these people set up. Yeah, that's what I'm sort of getting. But that apparently isn't recognised or under the UN either. And there's other islands and places, Easter Island in Chile and many other places, that you could probably go and maybe they wouldn't implement those new UN health treaty laws. Don't know. I have no idea. It's interesting. But it's so funny to look at, actual bodies, countries or whatever. The Vatican is actually a country sort of thing. It's like a city, same with the City of London. They're separate from the actual countries that they're in.
Well, you've got the City of London, which is, a mile square. You've got the Vatican City and you've got Washington, D.C. They're all of their own entity. And they also, I'm pretty sure they make up a specific triangle as well. The detail of how this has all been set up, especially the way they've, Washington, D.C. is basically just a demonic setup of the way they've done the buildings and whatnot. It's just amazing the level of detail. It just blows my mind. It just
absolutely the Freemasonry and symbolism and
they say symbolism will be their downfall. It's everywhere. The Freemason compass. I mean, like we kind of like don't care about it because we don't realize that we're being. It's like your tap water. Your tap water is killing you slowly. Do some distilling of tap water and see what's in it. We distill our tap water, and oh my goodness, you just wouldn't drink tap water again.
How would you recommend the easiest way for our listeners to distill their water at home, the cheapest way?
Buy a distiller for about $150.
Just get a distiller. They're pretty cheap, aren't they?
Yeah. Boil the water first because it means it'll be ready in 2 hours and not four. And the taste difference will blow your mind. We've had to go back to we've just changed over to some tank water, and the tank water being distilled, it was just not right. So we're hoping with all this rain we've been able to flush the tank out, and I'm just trying today actually distilling the tank, hopefully what is fresh tank water, and see how that goes.
Should be good. It's probably dirty, the tank.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping, mate. And so what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is using Puree U water.
That's good too. It's a good one. Because that comes in the cask.
Yeah, but still, Adam, I must say, even the wife said, it's not the same as a really good distilled water. And the distilled water from the tap has been fine because it really does get out so much nasties that it really cleans up. Look, is there something left in that distilled water? Look, possibly. But I can tell you right now, from what you look in the buddy the tank after you distilled it, you're thinking, holy shit, we've taken a shitload out. It is just black muck, white goo. It is just like you can't see it, so you don't think it's doing any damage. And it's over time. Poison is over time. That's the dose.
Right. Yeah, it's the same as the COVID jabs and the vaccines, man. I mean, you hold those vaccine vials up to the light, it just looks like crystal clear water. And those COVID shots are full of nanotech. COVID-19 shots are full of – you can't see it. Can't see it. Graphene oxide. Can't see it. I mean,
I must be okay, Adam. I can't see it. It won't hurt me. I can't see it.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they do it. Yeah, it's crazy. Poisoning you incrementally. But you can't see it.
And we're still waiting, because we've said on this program before that we still believe 5G will play a part down the track. I do believe there'll be a link of 5G into the jabs that people have taken. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Definitely. And I think that is the high-tech thing. But Dale H., I sent you his video. He was also talking about the transgender agenda, the transgender agenda, making everybody trans and, the confusing our children sexually, all of this. This ties into the COVID-19 inoculation agenda, because ultimately it's about transhumanism. taking away the sexes and everything, and with the tech in the jab. So that was spot on. And if you look at the teal so-called independents that have got in, and I sent you the website, they're all these climate change lunatics. It's not just the climate change that they represent. It's the transgender and equality sort of thing as well. So it's the transgender, the teal system that we now have in government is worse than the Greens.
Adam,
the Greens are Marxists. Yeah, they're Marxists. Teal is transgender and also transhumanism and obviously, yeah, the vaccination agenda. And we know that that's what our so-called new prime minister represents as well.
Okay, teal and gematria in the purest sight is 11. What is 11? The master number. 11 people is the master number.
11.
And the second purest form, gematria, a cipher, it's 38. What's 38 equal? Murder.
That's right.
Murder. Get ready. We're about to be murdered. And I don't want to scare you people, but we've just not been wrong. And in Sri Lanka right now, they've run out of petrol. They're in chaos right now. This makes no sense.
This could be a scary reflection of what's coming to all of us as they bring down all societies. Because if the great global reset, they don't need any of this around us. And they don't need us so much. So, you know, maybe they'll just get us. They'll just starve you out, just take away your food and fuel and everything, and then we'll just kill ourselves. They'll get us to do it to ourselves, you know?
Yeah. And again, Adam, I mean, like, in a
way, we're not focusing on the right villains, Jason.
The right what, sorry, mate?
We're not focusing on the right villains.
Okay.
Humanity's not focusing on who we need to be getting. We're just fucked, you know? I mean, there's billions of us. There's not many of these people at the top. We go get them.
Adam, I only said, I'm pretty sure it was on the last podcast last week with you, the song from 2003 by the sweet, Black Eyed Peas. Black Eyed Peas, that's who it is because I couldn't remember last week. Black Eyed Peas, their song, I've now gone blank on that bloody song. And they say in the song, this is 2003, we got terrorists in the CIA, we got terrorists in the USA. It's called the CIA. Okay? Your terrorists are what you watch on the news every night. They are the terrorists. Where's ISIS gone? Where's what was the other one after ISIS? I can't remember. Where have all these organizations gone? Where are they?
Yeah, green screen beheadings.
This is all CIA set up. This is all FBI, CIA, your government, your World Health Organization, your World Economic Forum. Who else can we throw in there as well? The Vatican, the monarchy. The monarchy people.
It's all Rome. It's all roads lead back to Rome, Jason. That's who's controlling it.
All roads lead to Rome.
That's what Johnny's researching. Yeah, and it makes sense. People say, oh, it's the Jews. Jews don't run the CIA. Jews don't run the FBI. They're an integral part of this. A lot, you know, and they're being used to do bad things, I know, but it all, as we just said before, look at the WHO and the UN. It look who's on top of that. It all goes back to this Vatican and Rome, and we're going to find out more about that. It absolutely is interesting because I've been wondering what the head of the snake has always been, because it can't be what we think. It's got to be something bigger here, and it definitely makes sense. It definitely makes sense, you know. But, you know, here we are. Jeez, here we are in our little pitiful countries being controlled by politicians all the way down the bottom.
Yep, control.
All just by politicians.
Yep.
And did you see this Albanese video the other night, Jason, when he was doing his speeches in his own, and he was telling his own people basically to shut up? Did you see that video?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, I sent it to you. It was crazy, and you got to zoom in on his eyes. Yeah, it's when he's doing his acceptance speech with the actress that they had up there with him, the girlfriend. They've got like a fake girlfriend up there for him. And there's people just like cheering him and saying, Aussie, Aussie, you know, the idiots. And he's basically telling them, quiet, I'm running things now. Shush. You know, like crazy guy. Like an absolute, we can see that this guy is an absolute control freak. And he already has a psychopathic agenda. He's ready to go. He's under mind control, this guy.
When did you send that to me? I've got a couple here. I've missed a couple here. Is it a wide angle shot, or is it one with a brown background or a blue background?
It's pretty sure I sent it. So look, I sent you a bunch on the teal. Oh yeah, the monkeypox and the adult fetish saunas. Did you see those ones, folks? Yeah, actually, in the Daily Mail, yeah, it was like adult fetish sex.
Can you send me that one again, just to make sure?
It's the blue background. It's 46
okay,
seconds.
I'll look there next. Okay. Now,
yeah, he's basically telling his own people to be quiet, pipe down, I'm the boss type attitude, you know? It's like, bloody hell.
Yeah.
And they're still supporting.
Yeah, the next. Oh, they will. It's a cult.
He's treating them like shit. And they're just like, oh, I love you. You know? It's like, govern me harder, daddy.
Yeah, Adam, you mentioned something before which got me thinking about something else, so I'm going to digress. On one of that podcasts I was listening to, which I brought up a couple of times already, they bring up this movie, and I can't remember the movie name, but it wasn't Utopia. Damn it. Do watch Utopia, people. There was a phone. This guy's – because I've mentioned this many, many months ago, even if not a year or two ago, where this person was saying right around the world there's millions of people that are trained – at the click of a switch. So basically they'll get a phone call, some keywords will be said, and all of a sudden they'll go on a killing spree. And there's a movie just about that. This normal man all of a sudden takes a phone call, something's said to him, and it's like he becomes zombified, or he becomes, you know, hypnotized, and he goes and kills people, and killing a mother and a daughter and whatnot. So I'm still concerned, because that's another backup of what I've researched, where there's millions of trained people that don't even realize that once this switch is flicked, they'll go into a killing mode and not even know what they're doing. So I hate to say it, and that's more, is that more doom and gloom? Well, I'm kind of getting a few more than just one signal about it. So interesting.
Well, what's in these jabs as well? What's inside people?
Yeah.
What could they aim at people? If we're looking at pulsing or frequencies to make them go crazy.
Yep.
You watch that movie, Jason, 28 Days Later. I don't know if you've seen that. It's a British. No. Haven't you seen that?
What's it called? 28 Days Later.
You've got to watch that movie 28 Days Later. It's an English horror movie where people get a rage virus. And it's not a zombie one. They get some virus and it makes them go bananas and kill each other. You've got to watch this movie. It was done like 2004 or something like that.
Yeah, hang on.
Make sure you take your notes on how people are infected and how they go when they fly into the green zone and there's all like military checkpoints and all that kind of stuff. You'll get a lot out of that movie. Actually, it was on TV last year and it freaked the shit out of me, because that was when we were locked down and they played it and I was like, holy shit. And that's again, a fucking scary movie, because they're not zombies. As Amanda Vollmer said, they're not zombies walking around. They're like psychotic, like that Black Summer, Jason, the one on Netflix. Yeah. Black Summer, with people going crazy now. And there's you know, with the frequencies around, going bananas. This is an extreme worry. We don't know what kind of technology is inside people, what they've been given, and if that can be pulsed or turned on to make them do things. We don't know.
Well, people, all we can say is,
we don't want to, we're not pushing fear. We have to cover fear stuff. It's important that we do this, but it is ugly. I understand, folks, but you know, we have to cover all angles here and try and work out all the best things we can do here, because, you know, we're in a pretty bad situation at the moment in this country. Everyone is. These elections that we saw this in last year, Jason, they've been absolutely the worst I've ever seen. Look at Trudeau. They just put him back in. And look at France. They've been on the streets battling out for how long? Almost civil war conditions. And he just walked back in. And they know, the people know, that that was just absolutely disgusting. So what's happening now with this New World Order sort of a system? They're not hiding it anymore. They used to try and hide it a lot, but now they're really in your face. And I'm sorry, folks, if people still don't get this, move on and get other friends. And I think it is time, Jason, to start connecting with our tribes. I think you cannot stop and start going back to pick people up who didn't listen. I think if they're not on board now, you're gone. Because if you can't see the agenda now, it's too late, folks. We're just too late in the game. You know, it really is. They're doing whatever they want now. We can see that. And okay. They're ramming this through.
And Adam, just to back, I've got chills here. I've got goosebumps here, right? You know, anything that Adam and I speak about, and certainly anyone else that Adam speaks to, we've done our research, people. If we're wrong, we'll admit it. Because as I said in my parliamentary speech back in 2012, I think it was my second last line, it went something like, and in these chambers, I reserve the right to change my mind based on better and new information. I actually said that line in that speech to let leaders know that they can change their mind when they know they've got something wrong because something's coming on. Holy shit, we're wrong. We've got to change this. Okay. But not that anyone ever did, because leaders are just, they're corrupt. But, and to that point of do your research if you don't believe us, I just typed in Sri Lanka has run out of petrol. I've come up with these videos from 5 and 4 days ago. Sri Lanka runs out of money to buy fuel. Sri Lanka has no dollars to pay for petrol shipments amid the, can't see the rest. Sri Lanka runs out of money to pay for fuel imports. And then people also ask, why is Sri Lanka in crisis? Sri Lanka is facing its worst economic crisis since gaining independence from Britain in 1948. The crisis is caused in part by a lack of foreign currency, which has meant that the country cannot afford to pay for imports of, and what did I say? Of staple foods and fuel, leading to acute shortages and very high prices. They've got no food. They're eating once a day. If you don't believe me, do some research. And that is meant to be coming to places, including Australia.
Yep.
Whether it's this year or by 2029.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. They're going to starve us out.
Biden has already said the geriatric old man that blubbers through press conferences making no sense has said there's a food shortage coming. How could they know? How did they know with Event 201?
Because they control the food supply.
Exactly, the control. And Adam, to that point, they've been all these fires at these food processing plants. It's like, really? Why? That's really odd. And Bill Gates has bought up so much food land. You know, like they're going to control this. They always have. And we don't think this is quantum leap stuff. Okay? This has been in place and playing out for over 100 years.
That's right. And don't forget the monkeypox thing, because I said this on many podcasts. They're going to bring the whole fake virus thing into the plant and animal kingdom. This is what Andrews is doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, like this is going to go into – and so that's what he's trying to do. They could just come into your house, into your backyard and test the soil and say you have this or that because we say so. Rip it all up.
And
you,
Adam,
you get fined. So believe me, it's coming. It's coming, folks. They're going to be able to say that you. And what about with large farmers, even organic farmers or cattle farmers or dairy farmers or whatever it is around our country? They can just come in, these fucking spooks, come onto your property, no warrant.
Yep.
This is what he's trying to do. No warrant,
yep.
Right? And they can just take a soil sample and then say, you've got this because we say so, some made up fucking thing. And all of it's gone. They'll just burn the whole thing and rip it all out. You've got no food. You've got no business left. This is where we're going. And Australians en masse just voted for it.
Yep. And Adam, just to your Dan Andrews, the dictator of evil, he's just said, I don't care about the election. He says, I don't much care who is in power.
Yes. He's not answering to anyone in this country. That's why ScoMo never touched him. He's answering to the IMF, the WEF, the WHO, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, you know, George Soros, all the suspects. He's answering to them. That's who he answers to, and that's why, just like Trudeau, this year they will put him back in. But they don't even need to worry really too much about Daniel Andrews going back in because they'll vote him back in anyway. So it's not like there's going to be much resistance in Victoria where they'll turn out en masse and get angry about it. They will vote him back in. And I have heard that there's huge support for Daniel Andrews down there and his hard measures. So he's not worried about fucking anything. He doesn't care at all. He's got the biggest ego in the world, and there's more pain to come.
Oh, so in that article from Activist Post, and actually I'd sign up for that. It's just all you got to read a lot, and I don't always agree with them. But as they've mentioned here, the technocracy is at war with the entire civilized world is now self-evident. I have warned that additional attacks beyond SARS-CoV-2 would certainly take place, as we've been saying. This monkeypox panic is only exacerbated by contrived food shortages, which we've been warned about, inflation, which they've been doing, an energy crisis, which we know is coming, with, especially with climate change added on that, and a financial crisis. Cryptos are in free fall. The stock market's in free fall. Very interesting on the stock market. Moderna, Pfizer, and biotech something or other are all massively down. I'm talking like 20 to 50% down. Tesla is 50% down. What's going on? If Tesla's got all these sales happening, which I've always said, how can Tesla be so high? Because I know fuck all people with a Tesla. It's as simple as that. I know a shitload of people with a Microsoft computer, or sorry, Microsoft operating system. I get that, or an Apple system. But how did Tesla get to where they are? Because what, one in 1,000, one in 10,000 people own a Tesla? So I don't get that. But why is Moderna, Pfizer, and biotech down, when if you're basing your feeling of the stock market and on your shares on sales, these people are reporting 20 billion plus profits by the end of the year. So why are they down? Because the stock market is also again controlled by the elite level. They'll lift prices up and drop prices down as they see fit. It's just a game to them. But just in regards to that NTI, that March 2021 simulation, I just want to, they've pulled up here the people who were involved in it. Bear with me, because here we go. All right. So produced by the Nuclear Threat Initiative, that's who the NTI stands for, Nuclear Threat Initiative, the participants and contributors overlap those who sat in Event 201 simulation. And by the way, something interesting about 201 is, you remember Bill Gates' name equals 201 in Gematria. So does the Pope, and the Pope lives in Suite 201. There's so many things happening with 201. But the there once was two towers, then there was zero, and now there's one. Is that all tied into the whole 201 thing? I don't know, but hey, there was two towers, then was none, now there's one. I digress. Who sat in the event 201 simulation that predicted SARS-CoV-2, its role and its policy? And those people included in both of these simulations: Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Wellcome Trust. Ready for this one? The China CDC. Where did the COVID start? In China. So China's CDC was looking after the Event 201, was part of it, and it just so happened to start there, including the United Nations, Merrick, John Hopkins University, and the US Department of State, plus other several ones. People, we're being played. If you don't see it, forget Putin being our savior, forget Trump being our savior, forget anyone being our savior other than all of us as one standing up, because that's all they fear, is us as one.
Do you think they want civil war, or they'll push to the brink of civil war and step back? It's interesting. I just don't see any choice soon. People just take it and we go into this new Agenda 2030 system smoothly. Yeah.
Look at all the wars, right? So this is the other worry, is look at every war that's ever been, from the First World War through to the Gulf War and, I can't say Ukraine, because I don't believe Ukraine's actually real. I do believe things like, what was the ones in the 1960s? Vietnam, ones in the Gulf War and whatnot were real, the world wars, because obviously we have family that were in them and went to them. Just think about this. We've got a war going on that is between two leaders. We're in the army. You're in, say, the Vietnam Army. I'm in the American Army. And we've been instructed to go and kill each other. Does that make any sense? I'm going to try and kill you, Adam, because...
No reason.
I don't know you. You don't even really protect... Well, you're protecting... Who are you protecting? You think you're protecting your country, but I'm just going to come and shoot you up. I'm going to be able to get into your country, even though you've probably got military armor to make sure that you can blow my planes out of the sky, or as I'm parachuted out, just get a bloody M60, whatever they call them. You know, these wars don't make sense, people, in any way, shape, or form. And if the people in all these armies just went, I've learned how to fight, but I don't need to go and blow anyone's head off. I'm okay. But here's the sick thing. And actually, as I've said this on this podcast before, is I got a mate of mine who's ex-army paramedic. And he goes, you eventually get to a point where you get pissed off, you have to go and put a Band-Aid on someone. You want something really gory. So some of these people love the gore.
Mm.
So, yeah, we've got people that just don't care about people's lives. And I'm talking about, like, I know some people in bikie clubs, and they'll say there's this one bloke, I'll never forget this one story. He said, if you needed money off someone and they weren't paying, we'll just send, you know, Joe Bloggs, because he'll just cut their toes off with the bloody a sharp or something. Steel cutters. And he goes, the guy's got no remorse. He's just got no feeling. He's just going to do it. So there are people out there, and that's the scary thing. But I reckon with the right messaging and the right food and the right supplements and the meditation and whatnot and the constant messaging on the TV that is not about Big Brother. And if you're watching Big Brother, oh, seriously, I said to my wife the other night, she likes The Voice, and look, The Voice is pretty good. It's okay. I watch it just to sit with her. All right, but if she didn't turn it on, I wouldn't watch it. But seriously, if you've got time to watch Big Brother, let alone watch Big Brother, I've got no time for you. Unless you're watching it for signals, okay, to go, oh, I see what they're doing there. But Big Brother is about you being used to being watched. Mm. That's why that started some shit 20 years ago. So they're getting all these words, these narratives into our psyche, into our heads. So when they go and enact it, it's like, oh, yeah, well, that's just Big Brother. Like, we've seen that. It doesn't matter.
That's all normal. I mean, in some of the schools now, in Australian schools now, they're going to take the doors off the toilets for young kids.
Oh, I missed that.
Yes, yes.
Why?
Oh, they're removing the doors. Oh, gender stuff.
Oh, shit.
I'll send you the article. So they've got no privacy in there anymore, and this is what that was about. Imagine how grandparents or ancestors watching Big Brother, they'd be horrified, turning in their graves. But then, you know, here we are watching others being watched, and it's just then it's incrementally it's just inoculating us incrementally to think that this is all okay. Yeah.
Well,
you know, stripping our values and morals away slowly, you know, and it's crazy.
And that's what pornography does.
That's what
all the shoot-up games that the kids play just makes it meaningless for to see blood. It doesn't matter. But, geez, what was I going to say? Oh, but back to your all the gay thing and the transvestite thing, whatnot, is my – I won't say who it is, but this person I know, and he's in his 70s, and every time he sees – two guys with their hands together, he's like, oh, look at that rubbish. And look, just to the defense of the gay community, is that in all honesty, you're not meant to be that way. It is as simple as that. But they've done a test on as a something, which is a chemical, in 2010, that on male frogs, it actually turns them into females. Mm. And for mine, the bottom line is chemicals have changed the thinking of us and of certain people, and I believe vaccines has got a lot to do with it, or the mother or the father has carried the vaccine and done something to the sperm or the egg that has altered the thinking of that person. And look, I'm living firsthand with one person who I keep saying that it's just not normal behavior what this person is doing. And whilst the person used to be on drugs, they had the same characteristics and same things they were doing as a young teenager. And then I can't remember when it started. Oh, through the teen years. And then I think it was about in the 20s, the very early 20s, they got on hard drugs and it just exacerbated. It blew what was already a problem out of control. And now that person is off the drugs, still using soft drinks, because I ran in the other week and I said, what are you having the soft drink for in the V-can? And I said, you're smoking still and you're probably touching some green grass. And not that I've got anything against green grass. It's the combination of everything else, because even on the green grass, you got to watch, because even though you can say it mellows you, the problem is these people are already psychotic. And it's all the other stuff that's making them psychotic. You can only hope that maybe the grass is mellowing, because I do remember a copper once saying, that we'd rather everyone on hooch than drinking because we'd have nothing to do. Because if you're doing nothing else but just smoking marijuana, you're just going to be mellow. It's as simple as that. You're not going to fire up. You literally, as far as I know, and I've only had a couple of tries, but you can't fire up. But on alcohol, absolutely you can fire up. I'm guilty as charged. I was being, raging on alcohol because something upset me. I know I wouldn't have done it, one, if I was sober. I may have got angry, but not the point where I really blew up. And secondly, excuse me, on marijuana, I can tell you from my first experience, there's no way I could arc up a marijuana. So what we've got to get out of these kids' systems and even adults is the chemicals. The chemicals, and I've said this for 20 years, it's the chemicals that are doing us damage, and not just one lot. It's over time. It's the combination, the accumulation that all of a sudden one day you wake up and go, oh, that pain wasn't there yesterday. No, but it built up over years, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like cancer just doesn't come overnight. Tooth decay does not come overnight. Think about tooth decay with anything else that goes on with your body and just think, how did this happen? It's the buildup mainly of chemicals. And again, in my 2012 speech in Parliament, my maiden speech, I said that 8 out of 10 diseases are because of our diet. And I'm not backing down from saying 8 out of 10. I almost want to say it's probably 99.9. But let's leave it at 8 out of 10. So back then, there were 700 nights a day. Sorry, 700 nights. Every night, there were 700 beds taken up by diabetes type 2. Not type 1, type 2, which can be completely 100% preventable. And by 2030, the $10 billion a year it was diabetes is going to blow out to $30 billion. Completely preventable. Do we get that messaging from the government? No, because they don't care. They know where this is all going. They want us sick. They want us reliant on the system. And it's working a treat.
Of course. That's why they changed our diet so radically over the years, yeah. Vegetable oils and margarines and white bread and flour.
Margarine,
cereals, sugars, refined.
Do the research, people, on what margarine
it's
actually
disgusting.
Is.
Disgusting.
It's black goo colored yellow.
Yes, it's disgusting. It just
should not be allowed on the show. This is something where the government should step in and just say, "I'm sorry, no." But would they care? Because look at all the products you can go and say, why is palm oil in there? Why is this in there? Why is that in there?
Canola oil and stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, just, man.
And there was a guy ages ago on Current Affair, and he was just a dad, and he was simply saying to parents, when you're at, you know, you stop buying the margarine, buy butter, you know, like don't buy these oils. They're putting cooking oil, vegetable oil, and they're putting cooking oil, vegetable oils, dangerous oils into all the foods, and soy as a filler and sugar. And it's like, so it's in everything, and that's the one that's killing everybody. And these Australian dietitians, the media ones, they went bananas. You know, the ones that are up on TV, the dietitians that are looking after everyone's health, they went crazy at this guy because they get paid by these big margarine companies and stuff. If anyone wants to find, there was in Sydney years ago, there was a Meadow Lea factory. And I remember hearing about the smells and smelling it myself. If you could smell these places, it's just disgusting stuff. It's only a couple of molecules away from actually being plastic.
Well, Adam, funny, that's a great segue. So I'm in the shops yesterday, and we're grabbing some cheese for the grandkids, and we try to grab everything that's as natural as possible. Anyway, one of the grandkids started liking the orange cheese that goes on your burgers. Anyway, we couldn't find it, and I'm sort of saying to the wife, I said, oh, look, the stuff looks like plastic. And even the daughter-in-law said that it looks like plastic. And anyway, we said to the that was a Coles worker right there, and we asked her because we couldn't find it where it is. And she goes, oh, you mean the plastic one down there? And I said, why do you refer to it as plastic? You mean the packaging? She said, no, it looks, and we've said for years with that, about that particular product, it looks and tastes and feels like plastic. People, there's so many things that you can research. where there's that lady that gets the, I think it was the lettuce, and tries to burn it on the Bunsen burner, right, and can't burn it because it's just like, it's not food. You've got chalk that goes into salt. There's so many things that fillers, they'll put plastic into rocks so that you've got little tiny shards of plastic you can't see. The amount of plastic in our body frighten most people. don't drink out of plastic bottles. I haven't drunk out of a plastic bottle in the last 7 years. I don't think I've drunk out of a plastic bottle on a handful of occasions. I'm glass. I refill up my glass bottle every single day. I've only smashed 2 in 7 years, gllass bottles for the last 7 years. And the difference in taste is amazing. Mm. Get out of plastic.
Yeah, I know. People love it. It's everywhere. Yep. Yeah, I know. Shrinking the gonads.
Yep. So seeing that this
feminizing.
So 100%. Those chemicals, and by the way, they changed from BPA to BPS. And then when they changed, this was back, I think, 2010 or maybe earlier. And I've gone, oh, but this is bullshit, from one chemical to another. Anyway, years down the track, I see an article that comes out going, oh, concerns BPS may also be a problem. Really? Get out of here, Einstein. Come on. But think about this. In 7 years, which most people, and I'm going to say 50%, probably drink a container of plastic once a day at least. And there's people out there that drink containers of Coke a day, bottle after bottle. They are putting in at least one, and on average, let's say it's one bottle of plastic a day into the bin. That's 365 bottles a year. And call it in 10 years, they're going to put in 3,650 bottles into the waste. I am going to literally in 10 years, I'm 7 years down, I'm going to literally put in the waste about 10 bottles of plastic versus 3,650. That's the difference we can make on a global scale. It'll be huge. We won't see these pools of plastic crap swirling in the oceans, where the currents meet. I don't know if people have seen that currents meet, they get a whirlpool effect and the rubbish just stays there. And what was the country the other day that's gone into turmoil recently, and in their in one of their rivers was just the amount of plastic. It was unbelievable. Like, you just think that even
countries.
I remember being in South Africa in 2001. Actually, I was there when 9/11 happened, and we went past this this little river crossing. It wasn't a river crossing, just a creek crossing. And there it was. Someone had basically got a trailer of rubbish. I'm talking like a truck trailer of rubbish, and just dumped it. Just dumped it in the creek. They just don't care, and they do that every day. And I've watched something in India where truck after truck lines up and just pushes rubbish into their oceans.
yeah, they do. Yeah, I know. I remember when I was traveling in 99, I traveled to South America for about 10 months, and I was coming down this long coast of Peru, all desert, and I was on this like coach, a long trip, and there's these kind of Swedish couples on there, Swedish or maybe German, wasn't sure, and they had snacks and everything, and this lady on the highway, we're cruising down, and the girl went up and gave the conductor, the guys on the bus. You always got the bus driver, but another guy that helps and goes around with the tickets and everything. She gave him a bag of rubbish that she tied up. So she had all their rubbish for the trip, in there in a shopping plastic bag. And he just threw it straight out the window. Just douche onto the highway. Her face was just like, what the hell?
Gold.
It was just gone. As quick as you gave it to him. Boosh. And I remember being in Lima in Peru, because it's not far from the coast, and just the water's brown. All the shit goes there. All the shit from the city, just straight in the ocean. I ate some fish up there somewhere, and I nearly died, actually. Stupid. I went to a nice place. I was starving. I had some fish and chips, and I nearly died. That night, I was vomiting and diarrhea for like 2 days.
Oh.
It was horrible. I've never been so sick. I think because I was fairly fit at the time and pretty good, it was just terrible. And then a couple of weeks after that, I got like the shakes and this terrible illness. I was white as a ghost. It was just horrible. Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ. And, you know, in those kinds of countries as well, like, you have to have the bottled water. You can't drink the tap water. And, you know, because it can be dangerous. And I remember I stuck to my plan in Peru. I stuck to my plan and I didn't ever have the tap water. And I went to this place on the coast there, and there was some good surf on, actually. There's a few Australian guys surfing there, and I found this lady in the afternoon, and I told her, and she understood, and she made this wonderful kind of vegetarian fried rice for me. And it was wonderful. And the next night I went back to get the same thing, but she was shut. And there was another guy in another shop. And I went in there and I explained everything to him. I can't have like anything with water on it. Like, you know, like, could you cook me something? He ended up bringing out this huge giant salad. And he was so proud of it. And I kind of had to kind of start eating in front of him, you know, to not hurt his feelings. 5 minutes after, it was like, blah, blah. To run to the toilet. It was just like, you know, and this is the Bali belly kind of stuff, or people say they get in Mexico and places, you're just not used to it. You know, the Indians can bathe in the Ganges because they're just used to it, you know. But sometimes when we travel or do things like that, yeah, you get so sick just from a little bit of salad or something, you know, or eating, as I said, some fish or something like that. It's crazy. It's really crazy. But in, as you said, yeah, in some of these countries, they, oh boy, the garbage and the rivers and shit, boy.
Yeah, and if you do, just on Bali belly and whatnot, because I've been to Bali a couple of times and survived, is grab your probiotics, start a solid 2 weeks before you go. You don't need any vaccines, forget that bullshit. Start on probiotics, and whatever the package says, quadruple it. Get two or three different strains of probiotics so that it's not just the same. And what we did was, for our last trip, we just basically took 10 a day, and like every few hours we just take two. We did that before we went, and we did that for at least a week after we came back. We were right as the rain. But certainly don't, though, take their water in, you know, everything out of a can or a bottle. And if anything gets – don't even go with any salads, just in case they've been washed with just cold water. I would eat all just hot food when you're over there. Soups have to be cooked really, like, boiled. So most soups aren't boiled, so I wouldn't use soups because they might not be able to kill any pathogens. But, yeah, so just stick with really cooked food and a stack of probiotics and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I ate a lot of things like bananas, avocados, because you have to peel them.
That's it.
And things like that. Yeah, it was funny in some of those countries. In Ecuador, it was funny because what some of the shops would do would fill the big 10-liter jugs of water with tap water and then punch the lid back on. And so you'd go in and buy a big bottle, you know, a 10-liter or 5-liter jug of water, and you'd be like, hang on. Because, you know, the top's uneven, there's some missing, and then it's leaking. And I was like, they've just filled that up with water, you know? This is crazy. So, yeah, these poor kind of countries are just so crazy, some of them. It's can be a very good life experience, though. You know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it was funny. Yeah, it was funny meeting a lot of Aussies and stuff who were coming down and said, oh, Mexico, like, was the worst. Just, I was constantly on the toilet, you know, But you get used to it. Yeah,
Just watch the water. That's all you can do.
Well, mate, the water, your water, you got to watch. That's all.
Even the shower.
That's right as well. Yeah, that's true as well. But I don't have any need at all to go to Bali, mate.
No, thanks. I had the opportunity to go to Korea this weekend, and I couldn't go because the only way you can get into Korea is being triple vaxxed. South Korea. Yep. And I couldn't go, but
you have to be triple vaxxed.
Triple vax to go into South Korea.
To fly in.
I can't see myself traveling literally ever again because of what's coming.
It's really crazy.
Yeah. And if I go back to 2016, I did a flight to Bali and I had to go because of work, and I'll never go to Bali again. I didn't want to go that time. Hey, some people love Bali. Hey, up to you. You love Bali? I don't. is that I said in 2017, I said, nah, something's coming. I'm not flying anymore. And so 2017, 2018, I didn't fly anywhere. 2019, I had to go to Melbourne, Sydney, and I went and booked last-minute plane flights going, no, I think we're okay here. Because keep in mind, you think that flying locally, you'll be fine. Remember during our lockdowns, mid-air, people were flying into a state that all of a sudden went from no lockdown to you had to go in quarantine for 2 weeks. Mm. So here you are going, thinking, I'm just going to jump off the plane, see Nana, see my girl, see me this or see that. Nope, you had to go in quarantine for 2 weeks. It changed mid-flight. So the other thing is, if I could have gone to Korea, oh, man, it would have been a big call, because I want to go to Korea, because the guy that wants me to run the show for him, amazing what they do over there, just next level. But I don't know whether I could. I just don't know. I just don't know whether I could get caught over there. And this is my big worry. And sorry. And then I made the trip in December 2019 because a mate wanted me to run his show over there in India. And I made a last minute call, cost me $1,000 extra in plane tickets. And I said to the wife, no, I think we're right. I think we're right. Let's go. We got back, I think, December 4th. 3 months later, we're in lockdown.
Yeah, that's right.
It's coming. And right now with monkeypox, I can't take the chance. I'm done until I know with absolute certainty that I can.
They're already mentioning.
And whilst I'm not jabbed, there's so many countries I can't go to. So.
Yeah, I know. They're already mentioning airports and travel things and airplanes with this monkeypox thing. Mm. It's too unstable, isn't it?
Yep.
And you know, I've looked into a few countries. They are relaxed, but there's still a lot of shit you got to go through. Yep. You know, just to go in and out, and there's things they want you to do there and stuff. It's weird. It's kind of weird unless you're going to Mexico or somewhere.
Yeah, Mexico.
Some countries don't have anything, but then coming back into Australia, fuck knows.
Yeah, no, you don't know.
It's so unstable at the moment. As I said, I don't know if we'll ever fly again.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I just can't see myself flying ever again internationally. There is something I may have to do for a local trip this year. We'll wait and see if I do. But at this stage, I'd be happy never to fly again until I know with certainty we're back to normal.
You think they'll bring in any border shutdowns again like Palaszczuk did? Or you think that's over those days?
Well, WA's was the worst, but...
That was crazy, eh?
Palaszczuk was second worst.
They actually locked our borders off, so we in Australia can't even go across our own states. The whole world was just shaking their heads at us.
An imaginary line.
It was an imaginary line, and it's one country. That was insane, and we took it. It's like, wow. Too unstable, mate, too unstable. All I would say to finish up today to people is really if there was any time to prep, it's now. And looking at the way people just voted, it's even more necessary that you start prepping. And if you have that chance to maybe get yourself a little bit of property or land or anything, I would absolutely go for it. If you're stuck at home, start prepping. Just keep doing it because things are more unstable. It's not just that we're still here. It's actually worse. We are still here, but I reckon it's more unstable now and it's weirder. And it's just getting weirder by the day. It's so weird what they're doing. It is so strange and creepy that the best thing you can do is even what you're doing, Jason, if you've got a little bit extra backyard or land, yeah, get your water tanks, get your distillers, get some chooks, get a couple of little veggie patches, get your seeds, have an area where you can stock up all your stuff, get your cans of food and your dried foods and your rice and pastas and all that kind of stuff, have an area for it, get your bug out bags and your thing, get extra fuel, this kind of stuff, have a good running car, everything that you can think of. We always cover it on the podcast anyway. And don't panic, still keep living your life, but boy, this is weird times, mate.
On weird times, man. We'll take care, people. A foot in both sandboxes, or should I say one foot in the fun sandbox and one foot on their throat. And, take care.
Thanks, mate.
Mate, peace out.